B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
But if I was really excited to tell him that the Mutt Cuts truck from Dumb and Dumber was there. Oh, I saw you guys posting about it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Bob, I'm sorry that you couldn't make it last night.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to a thing for Xfinity. Yeah, you love your family or something, so.
Nerd.
So we I took a quick lap, but Trey and Jamie walked around, and we filled out these little questionnaires we had to fill out to be there.
Well, we had to go through and you had to learn all the things that Xfinity offers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm thinking about switching over.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Brought it all to the missus. Brought it to the flyer. Look at this.
I saw you were getting the brochures.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
And I had to get stickers for each one because they weren't going to let us just slide through.
Exactly. We had to listen to these little mini seminars throughout.
Yeah.
And
The X1 platform is awesome.
It is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I voiced my one complaint. With the people there,
there's always one.
It's a valid one.
It's a valid. If you watch
something,
sports,
they took away from us.
They I feel robbed. Basically, the quick rewind button that like rewinds it 15 seconds or 10 seconds, whatever it is, that little button on the old remote. Is there anything better when you're watching sports? And you're like, let me just see that again real quick. Boom, hit that button. I love that button.
You don't have it?
I don't have it on my new remote. That remote that you're holding right now does not have it.
Yeah, it doesn't do it. See that.
Yeah, you're rewinding right now.
It doesn't go back to the 15 second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not. I don't even recall that button.
It's a phenomenal button. It was phenomenal for watching football above all else. But this is hogwash, if you ask me. So
wheels in motion.
Yeah, I told our new friend Yuri that I'm pretty sure hates me now.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, this is that 15 second button. And he's like, yeah, it's not coming back. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then
the other woman we met, she said, you know, I think I can get you one of those old remotes.
I'll work on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not getting that remote. But no, the swag bag was out of this world. You had to go around the little mini things, and they're like a premium swag bag.
Mm-hmm.
There are earbuds, earpods in that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Did you grab me one, right?
Bobby. Come on, I can't take advantage of a situation.
Yeah, no,
you didn't get the stickers, Bob.
Yeah, you had to get
the stickers. You had the stickers.
What is this, free pass in life?
Yeah,
come on.
To earn those stickers.
Yeah, come on.
You had to get four stickers.
Like street signs after you guys, one way. Appreciate you.
You are listening.
I bring food in every morning and stuff like
what's
that.
What?
You do?
Have you over the house for dinner.
Do you share it? Because I haven't seen it. What?
Can't get a little swag bag? It's cool.
I brought a bottle of wine to the Cooney household.
Not too hurt. You brought your own liquor to the house.
I BYOB'd it. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just on the heels of a fine Sixers win. We'll hear from Tobias Harris a little bit later in the program. This hour, 7:30, we'll hear from Adam Schefter, who's out there in Indy. Is he wouldn't be doing any NBA. What's he doing out there?
Yes, he's doing Milwaukee Pacers game.
Tonight.
NBA reporter Adam Schefter.
That's right. We'll talk to NBA Adam.
Crossover that's going on.
Yeah.
We'll talk to NBA Adam. We'll see if he's heard any circles of GMs being ready, like his buddy Windhorse saying that GMs are ready to trade for Joel Embiid.
They can hit the soul food restaurant out there.
What is the soul food restaurant?
I'm not sure.
The only thing I know out there is the White Castle that Jamie mentioned. Excellent White Castle. And then there's Shapiro's or Shapiro's Deli, which is a great New York-style deli in...
There's...
Soul food restaurant.
I don't know it.
It's a little outside.
And then St. Elmo's or something.
Yeah,
like
St. Elmo's. And then there's like a Steak 34, something like that. I remember making reservations for a group of us one time. But there's some decent places to eat in Indianapolis. St. Elmo's, obviously, you have to hit that once.
Of course you gotta go. Sure. You don't want to be rude. It's right there in fine Indianapolis. Where everyone's really nice and all that stuff. So that's going on. The Combine's going to be starting up soon. Adam Schefter's going to join us at 7:30. We'll talk about Amari Cooper, where he could end up. We'll also talk about where some of these quarterbacks could end up, like Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, Philip Rivers. And is there really a possibility of Dallas trading Dak Prescott? Is that an actual thing? So we'll investigate that a little bit more when Adam Schefter joins us in a little less than a half an hour. But after the Sixers game last night, and the energy in the building was great, I was down there. Joel Embiid was orchestrating the trust the process. Chan is moving his hands like he was the maestro. Ben Simmons even got the crowd into it. You had the change in the starting lineup with Al Horford sitting on the bench. You had Josh Richardson back in that starting lineup. Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup. None of us were keen on. But overall, you just saw a great game played by the Sixers against a great team in the NBA, in the LA Clippers, with probably the best player in the game right now in Kawhi Leonard. Like, it is wild to watch how they played last night. But after the game, as you would assume, Joel Embiid, he did a little post-game interview with TNT where he got asked the question about being the hero or the villain, as he tweeted out. And here is how Joel Embiid chose to address that.
The only natural first question for you, are you the hero or the villain tonight?
I'm always going to be both. You know, I start with my city. I love my city. You know, they've shown me a lot of love since I've been here. So, you know, we go through up and downs, and, you know, we learn from it, you know. So there's nothing more. We just, you know, playing with each other, just having fun. Like I said, I'm back to being a good sorry for cussing, but, you know, I'm just going to do my thing.
Sorry for cursing.
But it's a good ass. Sorry for cursing. If you could have saw the expression on his face, you could have seen it. The man loves being a troll. He loves it. And you asked a question about motivation, Trey.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to get his motivation from next. Hopefully it's motivating to be good at your job.
No, that's not it.
That's not it for him. That's not enough.
That's not enough for him.
But so where does it come from?
I don't know.
That's, Seal?
That's the concern. Like, what's going to be your next what are you going to have to tap into to help you get? Because, all right, so this is the first game that he's played since the Lakers game that you felt like, all right, he came to play this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so now you had the, all right, he's coming out there in the Kobe Bryant's number. He came out and balled. Then now you had the, he sent out the tweet, trolled everybody. Then now he came out and balled. What's going to be that next motivating factor that you're going to have to tap into? That's a little concerning to me. I would rather you just have inspiration where you just go out there and you just dominate every game instead of having to find this outside thing to get you going.
Every player is different, and we always talk about every player, they should find their own ways of motivation. They shouldn't need their head coach to do the motivating. But these are guys that seem to... Like, Joel Embiid seems to be the weirdest guy in terms of motivation I think I've ever seen.
But the great ones don't need motivation.
No. Yeah, their motivation is playing the game. But for whatever reason, he needs that motivation.
Well, the great ones don't use motivation. They play inspired. They use inspiration.
Oh, right.
So they just go out there and I am the greatest out there on the court. I am going to go dominate. You don't need that outside force to get you going. So that's the only thing that concerns me with this. What's going to be next? What are you going to tap into that's going to make you feel like, all right, now here I can go. I'm mad enough now. I got everybody on me now, so now I can go. Yeah, because at some point, you're going to run out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that other stuff is going to be gone, and now you just need to just go out and just be. And that's the only thing that concerns me with
this. I think they need him, the Sixers, the organization, fans, they need him to win the NBA All-Star Game MVP. That might just carry him out for the rest of the year.
Huh.
For that day, I was the best player in the world, and I'm going to do that for the rest of this season. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
You know, it's so weird.
Maybe.
Honestly, I don't know what could be the motivation. Like, here's the thing that bothers me. Anybody who has gone through a tragic loss in their life, and a lot of people have, you look at a situation like Joel Embiid and what he wrote about in the Players' Tribune, and how much he wants to play for his brother. And the reason it hurts so much to lose in the playoffs last year on the quadruple doink by Kawhi Leonard was because, you know, he was heartbroken because he thought of his younger brother who had died. Like, that's motivation. If he wants to put that out there publicly and say that that's why he was so disappointed, isn't that motivation enough to draw on? And like, it's a weird thing with Joel Embiid to listen to that and to read that story and then look at a guy that's lacking for motivation, to need the extra trolling online, the social media post. It's like, even beyond that motivation to get to the NBA, he needs that motivation to then become one of the greatest.
And what really scares me about it, and what, you know, bothers me, okay, you can get that motivation through that, then you go into a game and you do what you did last night, great. What's motivating you to get better at practice every day? You know, like, that's the key to me. Like, what motivates you to get into a gym and say, you know what, last night I had 26-9 and I was good, but here's one thing I didn't do well. I want to get better at that right now. At 1 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon when it's raining out and nobody's in the gym except you and somebody feeding you a ball.
Mm.
Do you have the motivation to do that? Because that's what carries over into games. Besides the, you know, the glorified motivation, forget that. What gets you motivated at 9:30 in the morning when you get up after a game to get better? That's what I look for.
All right. Now, Al Horford was the other story in this game because he came off the bench. Right, I guess you could say Brett Brown was the story. Changing the lineup that much. Now, you had Furkan Korkmaz start out the game. He only played 23 minutes. Then in the second half, you had Glenn Robinson start out. Glenn Robinson the third start out the second half of the game. Al Horford still coming off the bench. Horford still played 28 minutes. So it wasn't like he was reduced to a 16-minute role or anything like that.
Hmm.
But here's Brett Brown on the conversation that he had with Al Horford. He actually had it, I guess it would have been, what, Monday night? He would have had the conversation saying, tomorrow you're going to come off the bench for us. And here's how Brett basically broke that news to Al Horford.
Right now, this starting group has been struggling. You've done nothing wrong. I keep myself up late at night trying to find ways to better coach it and fix it and let it coexist. And to date, after 50-whatever games, you know, we've struggled a little bit. And that's one thing. And then the second thing is I feel like I can help you play at the level that you can play at and that we have seen. And I think it can be a win-win. And he's just as all class. He's a great teammate. He understood. It was a high-level adult conversation that I appreciate. I respect.
Trey, you're smiling.
Yeah, this is like the ultimate. It's not you.
Yes.
It's me.
I was just
and yada, yada, yada.
It really, that is the coach's version of it's not you, it's me.
I'm just not in a good place right now. And
it's not you.
You're not doing anything wrong. This is a me issue.
You're beautiful. You're a wonderful. You're a special person. I mean, all right?
You are spectacular. It's just me. I need to figure out how to do things.
I'm not in the right place right now.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And we're not functioning well, but you're doing everything right.
It's not fair to you.
It's not fair to
you. I'm bringing you down.
Yada, 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 yada.
Now, for time reasons, I edited that because Brett also said, hold on 1 second, and then he pushed a button, and then he goes, there's so much a man can tell you, so
much I can say.
And I was like, you. I told everybody can get to that note, I'm telling you. And now Horford's like, it totally makes sense now.
Yeah, there you go.
Brett Brown's unconventional. Man, the man knows what he's doing, what can I say? Bobby, don't think it went like that?
Brett did tell one lie in that little sequence there.
Bobby, it is you, not me? What was it?
He stayed up late at night to figure all this out.
Uh-huh.
We proposed it 2 weeks ago, early in the morning. So I think one of these days, and he gets up at 5:45 every day. That's part of his routine.
Mm.
I think he flicked on 97.5 and heard us saying, you know what? It might be a good idea to put Horford on the bench and bring a shooter off the bench. I don't think he was up late at night.
No.
I think he heard us tossing that around about 2 weeks ago.
Mm. See that?
Just saying.
Well, just, hey.
We're here for you, Brett.
Did we not devise the game plan for the Eagles to beat the Packers in Green Bay this past season?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be the first time. Wouldn't it be the first time we helped out a coach.
Just think I might have to bring in the funky didgeridoo.
Yeah. I think they figured something out last night. And the main reason I think that is not because Joel Embiid played a great game or Ben Simmons even played a great game. I just think they have a better rotation now. And I think they're a better team with Al Horford coming off the bench. Like, think about your bench for a second. Alec Burks and Al Horford coming off that bench? And Furkan Korkmaz in a role that he's more comfortable in of being an off-the-bench three-point shooter? Yeah, I think they're in a better spot right now.
And one of the best defenders in the league in Matisse Thybulle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
I don't say that,
you know, half-ass. I really think he is one of the best defenders in the league.
How did he get from the block to the three-point line to block that
shot? That Landry Shamet block blew my mind.
Man. That kid was incredible. Is just amazing.
He sprung out of his shoes.
He didn't even run there. He just launched.
He just appeared.
I was like, what? Because I saw the ball go to Shamet. I go, there's a three.
Yeah.
And what he did is exactly what Brett yelled at him. It's the opposite of what Brett. So remember the night that Brett yelled at him and he ignored him?
Yeah.
He yelled at him because he fouled a jump shooter because he left his feet after the jump shooter had already left. Or I mean, before the jump shooter had already left his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He left his feet before, therefore the jump shooter could jump into him and get the foul. If you notice on that block and what he does so well when he's at his best, he leaves his feet after the jump shooter goes up. So he knows where he's going. Then he leaves his feet and the time it takes a guy to release, he can get his hand up to block it.
His timing is ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
I sure was missing Shamet, though, at some point.
He hit a couple of threes. Dustin, Ralph, Rod, Jimmy, you guys stay right there. We'll take you guys coming up in a little bit. Adam Schefter will join us at 7:30. Time at the Fanatic is 7:14.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I'm an idiot.
Coming up 7:30, our friend Adam Schefter will be joining us from Indianapolis. Let's get to Ralph in South Jersey. Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, man, just thanks for taking my call. And by the way, kudos to Sam. I don't know how the hell anybody's so pleasant at 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's just her nature, man.
Yeah. Listen, to prove your point, you've been calling for Horford to be off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got a case closed here in the tie game against one of the best teams in the league. Al Horford was a plus 12 in the first half, and Embiid was a minus 12. And if Brown wants to sell his point to Horford, yo, Al, you know, you, by the way, you were a plus 12. I think that more than proves the point.
I'll tell you what, Ralph, also on that, I think one of the selling points he had to have to him was like, are you having fun playing with this group? And it's not a slight on Embiid or anybody else, but they weren't meshing well together. So I wonder if part of Brett Brown's approach to him was, you might have more fun playing this game with the second unit and then subbing in the first unit with you, you know, every once in a while, that little carryover. I don't think Al Horford was having a whole lot of fun playing with that first unit.
Well, you're right. And as far as all the drama and indeed, I think the guys, all three, go, forget Batman. It should be Hulk Hogan. And I just imagine a guy going, hey, brother. The next thing he's gonna tear his shirt off, put his hand to his ear, and call on all you little Embiidsters. I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, I think it is, too. Ralph, thanks for the call. I don't know. Look, everyone needs that motivation, I guess. Some motivation is more weird than other motivation, I guess, but Embiid's the weirdest I think I've ever come across. I don't think he's even close.
You need motivation? There was a kid in the lower level last night. I just retweeted it from my account. Wearing an Embiid jersey that taped over the IID. And it says, he put a piece of duct tape over it and wrote bum. So it says in bum.
Wow.
That's kind of harsh. How old approximately was this kid?
It looks probably either young 20s-ish.
Oh, he was wrong.
Jamie now calls 20-ish people young kids.
Kids.
Right.
Couple of kids.
Kids.
Right.
Kids. You whippersnappers.
And look at that. Get off my lawn.
Gen Z?
But that person deserves to be outed and shamed. Maybe even publicly tarred and feathered. I don't know. But that's ridiculous.
It's the 7.
You're embarrassing us all.
What did you and Bob call him in the 7 o'clock or the 5 o'clock hour? 7 hoagie mouths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the definition of a hoagie mouth. Oh, it's cool. We boo because it's cool. We're Philly. We're tough. You're an idiot.
Why do I find that term so offensive? Hoagie. He's hoagie mouth. Like, I'm like, damn. Like, I feel like, do you really call him? Like,
that but in I actually nice use the word because or the phrase because Jamie, that's one of his go-tos.
Hoagie mouth?
Hoagie mouth is definitely, especially in the 5 a.m. hour, definitely is one of his go-tos.
Yeah, I like a hoagie mouth.
Yeah.
Now
you find it offensive, Mark.
I find it. I'm upset. I feel like it's a derogatory term.
Well, you're not a hoagie mouth, so don't worry about it.
As long as that hoagie is packed with Dietz and Watson.
Hell yeah.
Artisan
meats and artisan cheeses.
Of course. Rod in D.C. What's up, Rod?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
You know, when I was listening to that call from Frank and his mom, the only thing I could think is, Mom, the meatloaf, I want it now.
Somebody tweeted us saying, if I don't hear Sharon again, I will be robbed of joy in my life.
Yeah.
And I think we all feel the same way.
I don't know how old he was, but he definitely was in the basement. So, but anyway, you know, I think Josh Richardson, man, he's the glue and the spark that he bought since he's been back, man. You can tell the difference in this whole team and how things are going with Josh Richardson.
He's a leader, man. And I'll say this. One thing. Now, I talked to Tobias Harris. We talked to Tobias Harris last night. And some of the stuff, we'll let you hear that conversation a little bit later in the show. But some of the stuff he got into was that leadership role. And, of course, we asked him about it. But like, what he got into was, this is, like, I know that we look at it as Ben and Joel's team, but the leaders of the team are Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris.
Right.
And I know people want to throw shame at Tobias because he's getting paid all that money and you haven't seen as much production as you would like, but as far as being a veteran presence in that locker room, he has certainly been that.
Yep, and I think Josh Richardson can bring a little bit of that Jimmy Butler leadership that that the team will need. So, but that's all I got, fellas. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Rod. I appreciate good stuff. No, it to only be here for as long as, I mean, Tobias Harris hasn't even been here that long.
Yeah. No.
Josh Richardson has been here 20 minutes, and Josh Richardson's like, hey, we're having a meeting. Sit down. Like, that's moxie. Like, look at Jimmy Butler last year. Jimmy Butler, this was Jimmy Butler's team last year.
Yeah.
And look how much, like, even Joel Embiid misses him, right? That's one thing you could definitely say about social media. They're still boys, sure. But when he comes out and he talks about, or a guy like Tobias Harris comes out and talks about it, and Josh Richardson talks about being a leader on this team, that seemed like rather easy reins to take. It wasn't like you had to pry them away from Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, somebody's got to grab it.
It's not about being the longest tenured Sixer. It's just about being a longer NBA, a greater NBA veteran, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, putting in more time in the NBA to be a leader in this locker room.
Now, if only you can keep one around for a couple more years instead of it being, all right, you're the leader here and then you're gone next year.
Yeah.
And then we got to bring somebody else
right.
in. You need somebody that can come in and be there for a couple more years to kind of help mold them a little bit more until they are really ready to take it over. Because this year, I think, you know, you got rid of Jimmy Butler thinking that Embiid and Simmons were going to be ready to step into that role, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I remember covering when the Sixers were playing the Heat, when they had LeBron and Dwayne Wade and all, and you get down there in your middle of a playoff series, and it just kept coming out that Udonis Haslem is by far and away the leader on that team. And he was. He was Mr. Miami. He was the heart and soul of that team, even though you had three superstars.
Yeah, absolutely. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, and you know what? Joining us right now in the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, and he's brought to us by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, your knee, your shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Two different versions of Adam Schefter. I know we're going to talk to NFL Adam, but more importantly, NBA Adam Schefter's on the line with us. What are you up to, Schefty?
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, Philadelphia. We are at the airport. We are off to Indianapolis, and we are doing the sideline tonight for the Bucks and the Pacers. This should be fun. Sans Giannis, which I'm very disappointed about. I can't believe that he decided to have a baby this week, like this week.
When you're doing the game, come on, Giannis.
Yeah, come on, Giannis. When I got the assignment like 2-3 months ago, I'm like, oh, cool, I get to watch Giannis in person.
Yeah.
And Giannis had other things in mind, you know, 8-9 months ago.
Dude, it was pre-planning. Schefty, I got to ask you this because I know what an NBA fan you are. And I know how much you enjoy doing those assignments, so yeah. Congratulations on that, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So let's start off with some NBA conversation. Joel Embiid posts to social media. He gets a shout-out from Jimmy Butler, which he responds, and then he comes back and tells everybody how much he loves Philly after they beat one of the best teams in the NBA, the Clippers. What do you make of Joel Embiid as an NBA player?
Well, I mean, he's enormously gifted and talented, and he's so much fun to watch. It just seems like your team has not professionally grown. They've not taken that next step that everybody's waited for them to take. And it just seems like we see like a team like Miami with Jimmy Butler rise up where nobody expected it. We see a team like Milwaukee rise up. We see Toronto. It's won, I think, 15 in a row. Do you ever get that kind of goodwill feeling from Philadelphia? It doesn't seem that way. It's just, it's on and off. It's hit at home, off on the road, not consistent. I don't know. Joel Embiid is one of the most talented players in the entire NBA. He's unbelievable, but it seems like he should be dominating every night and just some nights.
Mm. No, that's been the big thing with him. Now, I do want to switch because I know you're at the airport. I know we only have you for a little bit of time. Yeah. I got to talk some NBA. I know we got to talk some NFL. Tom Brady, is there any chance that he actually goes to Dallas?
So much would have to happen for that to happen. I never rule out anything in the NFL, but I just think that at this point in time, is far-fetched to me. Okay? Again, I never want to close the door on anything in the league, but if the Cowboys are going to tag Dak Prescott, How are they going to bring Tom Brady to Dallas when you've got Dak Prescott tagged?
Yeah, that seems to be the odd thing there. And then something also involving the Cowboys, but also involving the Eagles, Amari Cooper. What's the likelihood that he would end up in Philadelphia?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, because over the last week or so, I've wondered myself, I thought to myself, well, you know, Dallas has got a situation where it's got to use the franchise tag on Dak Prescott, okay? And assuming that Dak Prescott does get the franchise tag, well, guess what? If there's no CBA done, then the teams get, if there's no CBA, then the teams get, well, they get two tags. And if they get two tags, Dak gets the franchise tag. And I would think you would also wind up tagging Amari Cooper, in which case Amari Cooper doesn't wind up in Dallas. But, and here's the but, and here's where it gets interesting. If there is a new CBA that is done here in the next month before free agency begins, and my sense is, if I had to guess, I would say there will be, because it's that important to both sides, and I think they're trying to make it happen. I think they get it done. If they get a new CBA done, it's one tag per team. And if it's one tag per team, Dak Prescott gets the tag. And if Dak Prescott gets the tag, Amari Cooper hits the market. And if Amari Cooper hits the market, well, it's not hard to figure out who needs a wide receiver, right?
you're exactly right.
I mean, it's easier to get there than it is to get to Tom Brady playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
That it's harder to trace that and figure out a way that that happens. In this particular case, I could find you a way where Amari Cooper hits the market, where it would make a lot of sense for the Eagles to make a play for Amari Cooper. Like, what would be better than strengthening yourself at the wide receiver position and weakening your division rival at the wide receiver position? That would make a lot of sense to me. But there are still some steps that have to happen here, because if the Cowboys have two tags, I would imagine Amari Cooper is not getting out of the barn, so to speak.
And when did you say that new CBA could happen?
Well, you got income. I mean, the player reps met last week to go over the most recent proposal, which is, I think, like 48.5% of all the total revenue. And the NFL wants that CBA done yesterday. Okay, so the NFL is pushing like crazy to get this done. But the holdup, of course, one of the holdups is that the NFL also wants a 17-game season. Regular season, the players don't want that. And so they're going back and forth. And I would say that, you know, a league that preaches health and safety, 17 games, it goes against that. But in this particular case, know, like anything, it comes down to money, right? If they're going to pay enough money, well, you can convince the players to take 17 games, I think, maybe.
Chef, do you, I have to, I have a little bone to pick with you. You told us some half-truths last week, Shefty. We have questioned you endlessly about Eagles offensive coordinator, wide receivers coaches, quarterbacks coaches, whatever it may be. And you said to us last week, maybe they go a route where they don't hire an offensive coordinator. And you kind of threw it out speculatory. But you knew, didn't you, Shefty? You knew that they weren't going to hire an offensive coordinator.
No, I will say this. If I knew that, I would have said they're not going to do that. I didn't know that, but I had heard enough to sense that that was a possibility.
Right. So, my question to you is give me the pros and cons of your thoughts on teams that are going this route now, that are, you know, not specializing offensive coordinators, but giving different titles to guys.
Well, look, you know, Doug Peterson, for all intents and purposes, is the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach and he's the offensive coordinator. So what they were looking for was somebody to help diagram, scheme up pass plays in the passing game. It was like a passing game coordinator, as it had been described to me during the search process. Now, you know, again, there's a certain guy maybe who would have demanded the title of offensive coordinator, but are we talking about there? I mean, you're talking about a title. It doesn't mean anything. And so in this particular case, I think they were looking for somebody to bring concepts and ideas to Doug and for the entire team to work into the offense. There's somebody to really affect the passing game. And so that's what they did, basically. You know, they made the moves there, knowing that Doug kind of is the point man on the offense, and the people that Vernon will help out there. And that's sort of how it works in San Francisco with the 49ers. They're a top offense. I know that Eric Bieniemy has the title of offensive coordinator in Kansas City, and Mike Kafka is the quarterback's coach, but let's be honest, Andy's running the offense. It's the same thing. And so, maybe your strengths and the people who are the smartest, and Doug knows what he's doing. And so they're complimenting him with guys that can supplement ideas in the passing game, and that's what they did here. That's what they decided to do. See, there was that whole big uproar over nothing, and you know, we'll see how that plays out now. And now they can go on to what everybody in Philadelphia wants them to do, go find wide receivers.
Yep, absolutely. Now, let me ask this. What have you heard about Press Taylor, if anything, about what he could, you know, help out Doug Peterson with? Is there any conversation about Press Taylor in the league?
I don't know that much about him. I know he's a talented young guy. I know they like him. I know he's supposed to be a smart guy. I don't know that much about him to say to you here. Here's the Press Taylor breakdown. I know more about Giannis's new baby, Liam.
There you go.
By the way, I never thought Giannis Antetokounmpo would have a baby named Liam.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's neither here nor there. But the other thing is, Deuce Staley is, look, any way you want to look at it, it just looks like Deuce gets passed over again. Any conversation in the league about him maybe moving into a different team?
I haven't heard that. I don't know that he's such a staple.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine that, and I've not heard that. Plus, he's under how's that happening? I mean, they'd have to let him out of his contract.
Right.
So I don't think that's happening. So, again, a lot of these things, you know, we can come up with, like Tom Brady to the Cowboys and Deuce Staley going back to another team, but they have to be grounded in fact and reality. And in most cases, I don't think some of these things are.
Okay. Adam Schefter, always great catching up with you, man. I know you're at the airport, and a lot's going on there for sure. Good luck tonight. You got Bucks. You got Bucks and Pacers in Indy, and then I assume you're sticking out there or staying out there for the combine.
No, we're gonna commute to Indy this month. We're gonna go back and forth from Indianapolis. We're gonna go back to New York and then back to Indy for the combine. We'll be there for a week that time. Mm-hmm. A lot of time in Indy this month.
And Adam, on a personal note, I saw your Instagram post about the passing. Is it your grandmother?
My nanny Blanche, she passed away on Friday.
Sorry to see that, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. She would have been 96 on Monday. So last
wow.
Night, big birthday cake in her honor. And she was a great lady. You know, different day and age. She was married to the age of 16. When I was born, back in 1966, at that point, she was already the grandmother of two other grandchildren, and she was 43 at the time.
Wow.
Think about it. She, you know, 43 to be a grandparent three times over.
Wow.
And, she was an amazing woman, great lady, and God bless her soul. She was just a tremendous lady, and you know, lost our family.
Our best to you and the rest of the Schefter family, rest of your family, man, and that's awesome. What a great tribute.
She'd be proud that she was on Sports Talk Radio in Philly this morning.
I'm sure. All right, Adam Schefter.
Get a good lunch, Shefty.
Get a good lunch.
If you like burgers, Kuma's Corner, great place to go. You should go there all the time.
you know what, Bob? We're going. I got a production meeting with Mark Jones and Doris Burke, and I go where they tell me. On these trips, like, this is not my kind of thing.
Right.
Whatever they tell me to do, I do.
Shoot me a text where you go. I want to see if I've been there.
I think we're just going in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it is. And by the way, like I said, there's no NFL series that spent more time in Indianapolis. I've got my places picked out here. Like when I get to go out, you know, I'll give you a massively underrated place in Indianapolis. If you like sushi, place Mikado right across from I think it's the Omni Hotel. It's fantastic.
Oh, there you go.
Really good.
Awesome.
It's really good sushi.
And tell Doris Burke her biggest fan is here in Philadelphia.
We love Doris.
I love Doris.
How
yes.
could you not love Doris?
I do love Doris.
Adam, thanks so much, brother.
Thanks, Shefty.
Have a great day.
You as well. Like, Adam Schefter's at the airport.
He's at the airport.
When I'm at the airport, like, my ADD is, like, on full effect.
Really? I couldn't wait to find things to do when I was in the airport. If somebody asked me to come on, like, talk radio, I used, you know, whatever, really? I'd be like, yes, please.
Really?
Well, I got so good at traveling, though, and I would probably get to the airport, like, 15 minutes. I would get through the gate and everything and get to where I had to be, like, they as soon as I walked up, they'd be, Mr. Kearney, let's go, get on.
Yeah, right.
You know, but yeah, I killing time in an airport, yeah, please.
I'm on hyper.
Why, you're just watching everything?
Because every 5 minutes, I'm like, I should be on my flight. Like, it's just, it's that type of thing. And he's like, let me tell you about a good sushi restaurant in Indianapolis. Love that guy. When we come back, here, let you hear a little bit more from the Sixers locker room after the game last night. Time of the Fnag is 7:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The kid is a baller. Swagger.
So wait a minute, you can push some buttons on your remote and all of a sudden you go back 30 seconds? You can set that on your remote?
It looks like somebody sent us in the hack of the system, Mark.
That blows my mind. That blows my mind if it's that easy. And if that's the case, I'm going to find that Yuri fella because he didn't tell me that. Because when you're watching the game, it's so easy. Just hit the button, go back. And watch the play again.
Yeah.
That's on the old remote.
Was he the one that gave you the earbuds? Because I just let it go.
No, that nice lady.
Oh.
They said premier swag bag.
Yeah.
And
Jimmy, I was telling you this last night. I was watching this thing on Tiger Woods. This stuck in my head because it's an interesting thing. Tiger Woods did this documentary on him at like the height of his fame, the height of his like athletic ability, I guess. And one of the guys they interviewed for this documentary was Kevin Costner.
Yeah, when you told me this, I was like, it like broke my brain. I was like, Kevin Costner and Tiger Woods, what?
And then, so Kevin Costner's like, yeah, I really hope Tiger's the type of guy that never gets tired of a cool hotel room. Like opening the door and then seeing this cool, oh cool, this is my room, yeah. You know? And he's like, I hope he never loses that. I promise you this, I will never lose the appreciation of a fine free swag bag.
Yeah.
This one had the ear pods, the earbuds in them. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's cool.
Nice little coffee mug.
Fine, like a Yeti almost type of deal going that's on awesome. There. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Can we talk about something we can all talk about?
Yeah, I was just letting Bob know I'm not going to be able to make the meeting.
Yeah.
What meeting?
Today.
Post-show meeting.
What's going on?
Because I have, had some people coming by we need our mattress replaced. So, I always get a warranty on the mattress.
Getting a little too much work?
Oh, yeah, it gets a lot of work. So
we got it a month ago.
Yeah, so they're like, look, we got to come in and check this out so we can get it replaced. You know?
Right. You going back to your waterbed roots?
Oh, no. I like the firm mattress, from a back.
You're a Tempur-Pedic pillow top kind of guy?
Yeah, but it needs to be firm. Firm.
Yeah, I enjoy a firm mattress. Yeah,
I want that sleep number thing where you can do the dual.
Right. So one side can be soft.
Yeah. And the best is not to bring in a hospital bed, but it has the recline up. So
yeah.
If you're watching TV in bed.
Because
the problem with watching TV or sports in bed is I fall asleep within, 6 minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
If I have that recline.
You're in your natural habitat.
Okay. Yeah.
So how often do the Thomas mother and father get a new mattress?
Maybe once, twice a year.
Whoa.
Nah.
Whoa.
Well, here's the best. Trey, we all believed you. We're all like, that makes sense.
Yeah, probably about every 2-3 years, maybe.
All right.
New mattress needed,
Yeah,
a lot of work. You feel all them lumps in the mattress. A lot of work. A lot of work.
I feel like we just really got to know each other in this conversation.
Man,
I
mean, so the guy coming by, you know, you got to check the mattress.
Okay,
so they can say, all right, yeah, we got to ship you in a new one.
So what kind of questions does he ask you that determines what kind of mattress you get, you think?
Well, they're just going to look at it. They're like, look at all the lumps in there, man. It's a lot of work that's been going on, so we're going to need to replace that.
I feel like as the guys are dragging it out, they're thinking, what did they do to this mattress?
Yeah, don't put any black lights on it. Oh,
what kind of sick... All right.
How'd he get that under the air?
I don't... That's... the more you know.
Yeah.
The more you know,
I can't make the meeting. I got to go, you know.
What was your favorite car you saw yesterday at the auto show? Can I ask you that? Because that's where we got the swag bags. The Xfinity people, they did a great job. They're giving all the demos and all that fun stuff.
I went in there just to see if they had the new Bronco that's supposed to be coming out. And then I saw the Corvette.
Oh, how's the Corvette look?
The Corvette is very nice. I ordered one for the missus, so I was just checking it out.
Did you guys get to go inside the mutt cut truck from
Dumber,
the van? It was off limits.
Well, it was behind the rope.
Rope means nothing.
With the DeLorean, the Pizza Planet, I guess Toy Story pizza truck.
Okay.
And the El Camino from the Breaking Bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
El Camino. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the celebrity famous car section.
Very nice. Yeah. I'm supposed to go back later this week, and I'm going to see Corey Clement's car.
Oh, nice.
It's not wrapped. It's a paint job.
It's a paint job?
It's a Kobe Bryant tribute car by Eagles running back Corey Clement.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, so I look forward to seeing that as well. And then a bunch of the other Eagles have their cars out there. I think Carson Wentz even has a truck out there, so I'll check that out. Huh. Maybe Jason Peters' truck is there as well. I don't know. Huh. But I think five or six different Eagles have their cars there at the auto show on display.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Was there anything better than the El Camino at one point? First came out, I mean, it was the best of both worlds. You had a car and a truck.
Hey.
You
know?
I often think that buyer was confused.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know
do
what
I
need.
See people in the flatbed?
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
Car and a truck.
I don't know how it works.
I remember my brother one day, he came to me like, hey, man, I need to get a car. It's like, all right, bro, here's a little money. You go ahead and get your car. Yeah, he went and bought an El Camino.
What was his line of work?
Nah, I just wanted El Camino.
I just skipped. Why?
I don't know.
Do you sit in the back and cruise around?
Go to the drive-in movie.
He wanted El Camino.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take one of your old mattresses, throw it back there. Next thing you know, you got a hotel room on wheels.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, sure. I'd just like to know. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, El Camino, man. You can get them with the rally straight, put big rims and tires on them. El Camino can get done up.
Thanks to the good people of Xfinity as well as the Philadelphia Auto Show for having us there. They always do a wonderful, wonderful job. Definitely recommend checking it out. Checking it out is going on till the 17th. But I think most people last night, when they turned on the TV, they were focusing in on what happened with the 76ers. And you could not have had a better scenario play out for the Sixers. Joel Embiid played great. Ben Simmons played great. Crowd was into it. A smattering of booze is how I think you could best describe it. A little bit later, we'll let you hear the intros by our good friend Matt Cord. Devon Givens will be joining us at 9 o'clock. Actually, it was
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.